China. Titties. Labia. Ovaries. Broadcast.
And welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Episode 10. Woo!
Double digits!
A full two hands.
So we're...
That's what she said!
Oh, man, I missed it already.
Drink.
Woo! We are doing two episodes this week. I guess we'll release one this week and one next week. So if you're listening to this, get your feedback in ASAP because Shandy's going on vacation on Friday and I'm actually going to be in New York again.
Yay.
My mom's birthday is on Friday, so Zach and I are going up for her birthday and we're
Yay.
Leaving tomorrow, which I guess is yesterday Yay. By the time this comes out.
It's someday that's already passed.
Yeah, fun times. I am super fucking excited, ready, and in need of a vacation. So I'm ready to go. I'm like, I have a bunch of stuff to do at work before I leave, but I'm counting the days.
Oh, there's nothing more satisfying in this world than putting your out-of-office email up and clicking, releasing it.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
It's almost more satisfying than the actual vacation.
Yes. When I remember to do it, I usually do, but I used to nice. Sometimes forget. Oh, well,
so what
it doesn't matter.
Not... Doing? What are you going to do on your vacation, Shandy?
So we were originally going to go to some of the national parks in southern Utah, and I still really want to do that at some point in time, but we decided to actually go home for a bit, and so we're going to go back to Montana. We're going to actually drive. We decided Ooh. To go the cheap route. That we're gonna drive because we wanted to road trip in. That was part of our, you know, what we were gonna do, to road trip up there. And I usually don't want to, like, anytime we go to Montana, we always fly because, you know, it takes a
yeah.
while. But we have, you know, we have a good like a little over two weeks, so we have the time to do it. I have also a really good friend in Boise, Idaho, who I haven't seen for like 5 years, so we're gonna stop and see her.
Nice.
So that's exciting. So we'll do like a couple of little things like on the way, and then we'll spend some time in Montana. It's awesome because it also happens to be my cousin's 30th birthday when we're going to be there. So we're going to hang out with her and like go to the hot springs and, you know, go camping a little bit, do some fun stuff like that, and then just like see all of our friends back home and then drive back. So it'll be nice.
That sounds
it'll
great.
Be very fun.
So
yes.
Now, important question. Who is going to take care of the cats?
Oh, so we have a whole, like, system. Oh, that reminds me. I need to talk to the neighbor. So we have a good friend here who usually watches Fiona when we're gone. And this is the first time we'll be leaving since getting the kitten. So this friend, you know, she's more than happy to come by every day and feed Fiona and everything, and so we really appreciate that. But she's going to be gone the first weekend that we'll be gone, so we're going to have the neighbor looking on them. And then when she comes back, she's going to actually take Gabby, the kitten, to her place. Fiona would freak if she, like, went to another apartment. She's
creature.
Very... Yes. Yeah, she does not like that. And also, I'm a little bit worried about leaving the two of them alone together because Gabby like terrorizes Fiona a little bit. So it'll be nice. Like Fiona will have some peace and quiet for a couple of weeks and then the kitten will go to our friend's house and she can just be a freak over at our friend's house. And they're happy because they like, you know, they like animals and they like kittens. So yeah, so it's taken care of. I just need to talk to the neighbor for that first weekend, but shouldn't be a problem.
Nice.
It's actually nice. Like where we live, we had the neighbor from hell in this apartment where we live when we first moved in for the first like year, but she then moved to Alaska, good riddance. Mm. And ever since then we've been lucky enough to have like just real awesome, you know, all of our neighbors are awesome. We know them all. And so it's nice. Like we kind of look out for each other and we go on vacation, you know, people check in and stuff. So it's cool.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I'm actually using a cat sitter for the first time this coming weekend when going away. It's just like, you know, that was kind of a goal, like being in like a new part of Brooklyn. We kind of wanted to like stop freeloading on our friends and like lugging my 18-pound cat all over the city to like whoever was going to take care of him. So our super's daughter does like a cat watching sort of side business.
Cool.
And it's pretty reasonable, and she seems super sweet. So this is the first time like a stranger, quote unquote, is coming into my house and feeding my animal. So, and the cat will be there when I get back.
Well, if it isn't, you know where to find this person.
Exactly. It's the super's daughter. I think I'm safe.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So yeah, so we'll see.
Good time.
Sheila came by last week, and like I realized like after she left, I was like, I sure hope she doesn't think it's this coming weekend. That's like when she dropped off the keys again, I was like super awkward, like, so it's next weekend. So you know, it's next weekend, right? You know, next weekend, Labor Day. Like,
such
an awkward human being.
I guess I'm fortunate enough in that my cat sits herself. We actually straight up just left Zoe alone for the week while we were in San Diego. I felt really bad about it. And we were kind of like, like Jay even said in the like the whole like plane ride home, he was like, I just hope that we're coming home to a living cat. And I was like, stop saying that. Please don't say that. And he was like, I don't know. Nobody's checked on her. And I was like, please don't say that. And I was really scared when we got home. I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I opened the door and she was like, meow, I'm really mad at you guys. And I was like, oh, thank you, God, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, cats can get along fine for a long time by themselves. But like my cat gets like some wet food every day. And she's like kind of an attention whore. So she really needs like human interaction. So yeah, that's why we always have people, even if we leave for one night, maybe, but if we leave for two nights or more, we always have somebody stop in.
Same. I could barely leave Captain alone for one day.
You know, before...
He can't handle it. He's like a dog. He needs two square meals a day.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Colleen.
Before Zach was born, I used to be, like, super worried about Zoe. I would always be like, do you think Zoe's okay? And Jay would be like, yes, she's a cat and it's only been a day. And I'd be like, okay, cool. And I used to do that all the time. And then once Zach came along, I feel kind of guilty now because it'll be like the third day we're away. And I'm like, do you think Zoe's okay? Like, you think she ate all of her food yet?
You mean after worrying about the well-being of like an actual human baby, somehow the cat's less important?
Interesting. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
She's funny how that works. Yeah, I feel bad though. Definitely whenever we come back, Fiona's always like you were describing Captain, or no, like you were describing Zoe, like, well, like super affectionate, super, super affectionate. So
yeah, that's Captain pretty much every day. He did that today. You can hear him yelling down the hall. He's like, Captain, I've been gone less than 10 hours. You're okay.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, so I tried also yesterday. I went shopping because I was hoping, like I mentioned, we're going to a hot springs that I really like when we're going to be on vacation. And I really want to get a new swimsuit because it's been a long time. So I went to the mall and I was super excited. And I had my eyes on these swimsuits at Victoria's Secret for a long time. Ooh. And they're fucking gone. Like, it's
end of the season.
Damn it. The seasons. Yeah, I guess. Like,
try the website.
Or try Zulily. I mean, now it's like something.
The problem is, here's the problem. When I walked in and saw that the swimsuits were no longer there, I ended up staying in the store and kind of going on like a little bit of a shopping spree for like bras and underwear anyway. So now it's like the money that I had like mentally allocated for the swimsuit has like been spent and then some on other stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll just wear my old swimsuit.
That's stuff you're always going to need though.
Exactly.
Money on a new bra is never money regrettably leaving your wallet.
Thank you. That's what I told my husband when he was looking at our bank account today. I was like, you spent how much at Victoria's Secret? I was like, dude, like, you're going to directly profit from this. So, like, don't even say anything.
Yeah, this is also coming from the girl who had been so long since she bought a new bra, they discontinued and bought the 2 months for it. Yeah.
So, I actually thought of you when I was there because your story about resized.
Oh my God.
Because when I was looking for underwear, I was looking for the size that, like, I always buy. Yeah. And the woman was like, no, I think you're actually like a size smaller. Like, okay. So I tried it on. I was like, I actually am this size. Oh my God.
They just want to make you feel good at Victoria's Secret. They're like, your boobs are bigger than you think they are. Your butt's smaller than you think it is. They just want
That's
you to feel
true.
Good.
They have like some kind of like other dimension measuring, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but it worked. And it's true. It's the fucking truth. And I had this flashback of like, I have this one pair of underwear that like, it's never a problem if I'm wearing jeans or like tights or nylons or anything, obviously, because that like helps to like hold everything up.
Yep.
But I was one day wearing a dress without any like nylons or anything. And this particular pair of underwear was like sliding down my body as I was walking.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's too small. It's too small.
Yeah.
I thought it was just that underwear. I thought it was like, I don't know.
But also, like, yeah, if it's too old.
Like a size too big.
Yeah. Also, if it's too old, then the elastic starts to go.
True. Very true.
Yes. Although, also, I bought my first pair of Spanx this year.
Oh, yeah. How are you liking that?
I can see why people like them.
They're awesome, yeah. Aren't they?
Yeah.
I have a Spanx corset. Amazing.
Ooh. Yeah, that might be my next investment. We'll see.
Nice.
This is a much tamer. We're off to a much tamer start than we usually are, guys.
This is what happens when we don't talk about poop.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned
poop. Exactly. This is what that email that we got about like thinking that this was going to be like all this like inside information and like what women like talk about, and instead it was just poop talk. Well, this is what it is.
Yeah,
talking about buying bras and underwear and Spanx
and Spanx.
Yeah.
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 Smoke and mirrors. Oh, being a woman is just smoke and mirrors.
Seriously.
Well, she's always a woman to me.
To me.
And all she can do is wear great Spanx for you, because she's always a woman to me.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Anyways, we had a shitload of... Oh, does anybody actually have anything else before we bring up how much damn feedback we had about the friend zone stuff?
I had one thing.
Oh, yes, please
I had one
do.
Thing that I thought was just... Well, two things. First of all, Gene Wilder.
Oh, rest in peace.
Very, very sad day. I didn't realize how old he was. He was 83.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, you know, we lived a minute. But yes, that's very, very sad.
Yeah.
My other thing to bring it back. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say he had complications of Alzheimer's, which is even sadder.
Oh, that's really the worst. Sad. That's the worst.
Because you just kind of wonder what, like, the last several years of his life were like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyone who's seen it kind of knows. I mean, I guess it's, like, different for different people. But, yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah. Well, okay. Bring
it
back up.
Bring it back up. Bring it back up.
Just had to acknowledge the day. So I realized the VMAs were yesterday.
Yes.
So Sunday.
Oh, and this is the link you sent us?
This was the first year that I didn't care.
Yes.
I think I think that makes you officially an adult.
I think so too. And it kind of made me sad. Like,
it didn't. Because then it's like I tried to read some of the like top 10 best movies. You know what? I don't care. Nice. I don't care. Nice. So yeah, it was a big subtle moment for me.
Nice. I was proud of myself for even like realizing that they were happening, but that was probably because I like I don't know, got on Twitter or something.
Yeah, but, yeah I only knew because you know I used to work for Viacom. So a few of my like old coworkers that I follow on Instagram and stuff were like posting like their passes. And I was like, oh yeah, the VMAs. Oh, this is happening. What's on TV?
I didn't realize. I kind of at some point was like, I want to know what Kanye's going to do. And then I was like, but I don't really, I guess I can look at it on BuzzFeed tomorrow.
Yeah. Apparently his apparently his speech was like really ridiculous.
It always is.
Would you expect any less?
Exactly. Yeah. It's always ridiculous. So I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, but yes, the thing I sent you about Drake, Rihanna friend zoning.
I know, Drake, that was amazing.
Which I thought was just very, very apropos given our conversation last week and given all of our feedback. We had a lot of feedback. About the friend zoning. It is clearly a hot
actually,
button and of the issue moment.
So thing. I had a proposition from somebody who wanted to come on and debate the friend zone. So I didn't know if this topic, if we thought this topic was worth having people actually come do like a 15 minute, half hour segment that actually debates it or not. Because people were very passionate about this on the Facebooks. And
a broadcast special.
And I can't tell you how many freaking people texted me about the friend zone stuff. I got texts from Mike.
Holy shit.
I got texts from Mike who wrote the first email. And he was like, you were completely wrong. And I was like, I was drunk, to be fair. Which I took that whole part out. When I was re-listening, I was like, what was my point that I was trying to get at? And then I got to my point and I was like, okay, I still agree with my point, but fuck, it took me a long time to get there. Nick texted me about the friend zone. Dan texted me about the friend zone. Colk texted me about the friend zone. And I had somebody else. I'll look through my phone. I'm sorry, friend who texted. Somebody else also texted me about the friend zone. And I was just like, just send an email because I'm guarantee you now I'm not going to remember to read your text. So, yeah. I had a lot
people
of texts
about it. People have some strong opinions.
Yes.
I had no idea that this was such a topic that like people had such strong feelings about.
I think enough dudes feel that they've been friend zoned that they want to talk about it and justify that they're not a creepy person.
But it wasn't even on them. We got a fair amount of lady responses too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did. I just happened to, you know, all the people that texted me, four of them were dudes.
So there's that.
So there's that. In my experience, my direct feedback is 100% male and heavy.
I don't know. But I feel like my stance still stands this week.
Yes. Me too.
You guys are talking about one. You guys are talking about. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. So.
Yeah.
But holy shit, one other thing that I wanted to bring up before we got into that, because I think that this also could be, if anybody is not, you know, cowardly enough, like anybody's brave enough to talk about if it's happened to them, is I read the article last week about the dude that was catfished into thinking he was dating Katy Perry for a while.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Come again?
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Go, let me get guy catfished Katy Perry. Okay, here you go. This guy was catfished for 6 years thinking he was dating Katy Perry. This came out on August 25th, this article.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, it's just it. Like this guy six years messaging and emailing with somebody who he thought was Katy Perry. And he's from Tennessee, and he was just featured on the Catfish show on MTV or whatever. And he thought...
Is still on?
Apparently it is. He thought that he was dating Katy Perry. And, you know, she was like, my heart goes out to him, actually. Anybody who's been fooled like that... Was that... Oh, no. I was like, it's Brooklyn playing. But then I just realized that that was actually the advertisement on my screen that you guys can't hear, but everybody else will hear. Anyways,
yeah, Brooklyn, be quiet tonight.
Yeah, Brooklyn, be quiet tonight. No sleep till Brooklyn unless Brooklyn's sleeping. Yeah, so I want to know if anybody's actually been catfished because I could have easily been catfished with Jay. Luckily, he was a real person that I had met before I talked to him. But like, I don't know, it could have been like Cliff or somebody posing as him after that. I don't know.
Well, as somebody who is like definitely a bit gullible, I feel for that person. That's a really long ass time. Mm. And I kind of feel like I'm kind of like amazed slash almost impressed that he didn't realize it in all that time, because holy shit. But that's a horrible thing to do to someone. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why be a horrible human being like that? I don't get it.
I agree. I never understood the whole catfishing thing and how it's a thing. And perhaps that makes me like a cynical, unkind person. But I kind of put catfishing in like the same category as I put like those stories you hear of women that don't realize they were pregnant until they go into labor. That it's like, I mean, how much is that? That you know deep down and you're just in denial about it.
Well, I don't know. I think for some of those women, it depends on their body types too. Also, it depends on like the education they've had, this, like about where babies come from and you know, sex ed in this country is not what it used to be. Or
yeah,
you
know, well, I said it was a cynical viewpoint, but
to you, a good person to not understand like why somebody would.
Yeah,
like catfish. Like, why does that exist?
I don't know. And I guess
because people on the internet are shitty. That's why it exists.
Yeah,
but why are people on the internet shitty? Like, I don't understand why people need to be that way.
Well, exactly.
Like, what satisfaction do people get from either side? Like, I don't understand the satisfaction value on either side.
Right.
The like being in an internet relationship versus like never met or seen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the satisfaction on either side and, like, the motivations.
Yeah, because that person who was catfishing him, like, for, like this, and I'm assuming it's a dude. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
No, maybe it was a woman, but I'm assuming, my first assumption, I'm thinking it's a guy who was doing the catfishing. Whatever. In any case, this person just, like, spent 6 years of their life, like, putting on this charade to trick someone, like, get a fucking life.
Yeah.
That just seems so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's like, so sad.
Yeah, it's sad, and it's just like, what satisfaction do you get? Like, I mean, it's like, and I don't understand bullying in general, but at least you'd think that, like, there's some sort of gratification when you can see the person you are picking on. You can see the look on their face. You can, you know, like, you get some sort of sick satisfaction from that.
You can feel powerful. Yeah. Yeah,
you, like, trip them and you see them fall on the ground. Like, you know, you kick, you know, you lift the football and they fly up in the air and fall, you know? But I don't understand doing it to, like, just a screen name. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. I want to know,
it's
though.
So maybe the catfisher was friends.
I want to know if anybody has been catfished. Like, you can write in anonymously. We won't say your email or your name or something. But this is fascinating to me. So let's do that. But
yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Anyways,
definitely.
I feel like I have more to say, but I want to kind of save also some of that for later this week, which is kind of funny because I never run out of things to say. So I'm sure, like, 3 days from now when we record again, I can figure out something else. Yep.
You want to keep a little juice in the tank?
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so we had a shitload of feedback for episode. Does anybody, I guess we want to start with, like, actual feedback, or do you guys, anybody have anything else to bring up before we get into this?
Yeah, bras and vacay, that's all I got.
Bras and vacay. Ooh,
bras
episode
bras
title.
Bras for the vacay.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Bras and vacay. Shit, son. I'm just trying to think. Oh, so we are patrons. We're part of Jay and Jack Network.
Right.
So as a result, we plug their Patreon and benefit from it. So please become a patron. I think our grand total of patrons we've brought in might be one. So let's kind of bring that up a little bit. If you're a $1 patron,
hey, whoever that one is, woohoo! Thank you.
That was Eric. Thanks, Eric. If you're a $1 patron, please consider becoming a $5 one. If you're a $5 one, you should totally up it to $15 because we do a live hangout every month. And I have to say, so every month they vote on the topic, and we came in third this month, guys. The topic was the
out of how many topics?
Five. One of them was the Tim show, so it didn't really count because Tim was the only one that voted for it. But so one of our topics, it was the broadcasters with joining forces with the Married Man guest hosts, and we would this was the patron's choice, which is the $5 level. So we were super close. So there were two different polls. One was on SurveyMonkey and one was on the Facebook group, and we were in third place on the Facebook group, but we were in second place on the SurveyMonkey poll. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, the poll almost wanted us, guys. That's what she said.
Are you saying the poll friend zoned us?
The poll friend zoned us this month. But I mean, there's always every other month.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna stick with this friendship because eventually I'll wear it down.
Exactly.
Get that poll.
You'll get that poll.
I'm gonna get that poll.
Get that poll, Shani. So anyway, please consider becoming a patron. And if you are at the $5 more, you're in the Facebook group. And when you're in the Facebook group, you should then tell everybody that you're only there for us, because hashtag we're the best. Hashtag Tim's the worst. Hashtag Nick's the worst. Hashtag Skypex the worst. Boston's the worst. Hashtag Brian's okay, I guess, because I've known him since I was 11 years old. But everybody else, totally the worst except for us. Yeah, I've known Brian since sixth grade. Yeah, good times.
I did not realize.
Yeah, that's a true story. I met Brian in sixth grade, and he was that weird kid that loved ER and used to talk about ER all the time. Yeah, good times.
So not much has changed.
Not much has changed. I think he wrote a poem. He wrote a poem about ER. I distinctly remember this because you have the student poetry book that comes out, you know, once a quarter or whatever. And I had that somewhere. And Brian, a.k.a. Brent, if you're a Married Man Show listener, Brian wrote a poem about ER. I swear to God. And I have it somewhere.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So anyways, everybody's the worst except for us. We're the best. So let everybody know that. And you know saying, if you're a current patron, just go on the Facebook group right now, the patrons group, and just hashtag I'm with them.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm with her.
Hers.
I'm with them. I'm with hers. Fine. I'm with hers. Hashtag I'm with hers. So please go do that. It would be amazing and hilarious all at the same time.
Hello.
Yeah. So anyways, we have some feedback, and I guess I forgot to plug it. So go to patreon.com/JayandJack. Or go to jandeck.com in the upper right hand corner. There's a link that for become a patron. So please do that. Anyways, feedback. Shandy put it together this week. So let's see if you did as good of a job as I would have done.
Snaps.
Let's see. Shots fired. I like to group things by categories and give them like a little.
Yeah.
I'm not very happy with the size of my titles. I wish I would have used a bigger one. That's what she said.
That's fine. It was your first time. You'll get better with practice.
Exactly. The first time is always a little bit awkward and weird. And then
you don't know what to expect.
Exactly. I didn't know how it was going to send when I sent it.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Next time, I'll have a little more experience under my belt.
Yep.
All right. I'll start with re-beer. Nick says, so would a spicy beer make your poop burn? That's the question I want answered.
Nope.
Easy answer. That's pretty much all of the poop talk.
Yep.
Yeah, that was probably the quickest that we've ever addressed a poop question. Although, shit.
You're
no,
welcome.
No. I also got texts about the squatty potty. So Nick texted me about the squatty potty. But Maggie texted me about the squatty potty too. And Maggie said, you get a squatty potty based on the height of your toilet.
Oh,
yes.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah. I guess I never realized that toilets were different heights, though.
Yes.
Oh, well, as a short person, I have noticed.
Yes. No, they are different heights.
There's definitely been times I've sat down. I'm like, My feet barely touch the ground.
Yeah, I like them. The higher, the better. I don't like
things. I don't.
I get grossed out. The closer I am to the ground on the toilet, I feel like it's closer I am to like the toilet's ground. It's just disgusting to me. I feel like
it's easier to hover. It's
I know. To hover, I feel like the cheeks
like
are just going to touch
the ground.
Yeah, I feel like the cheeks are going to touch the water. It's just like psychological. I can't deal with it. I don't like it. But I understand hovering.
Well, I will say.
Yeah.
I used to actually work in a building that it was like an annex of like my organization, and it happened to be an elementary school that was like then being leased by where I work. But since it was an elementary school, like some of the stuff was made for kids. So like in a lot of the bathrooms, the toilets were like super far down. I guess that is the one time I noticed different heights, but it was because those were designed for
little
like
people.
So you tried to pee in like you tried to pee in a toilet made for an 8-year-old.
I didn't try. I succeeded,
you succeeded
on multiple occasions. I worked in that building for like 3 years.
So. Oh.
So what size squatty potty would you need for a kid's toilet then?
Maybe I was already like kind of doing it.
Anywho.
Good Lord. All right. So CJ, read the shocker. Says, I'm sorry, Sink Pisser says, Colleen's definition of the shocker. Talk about a shocker. I really hope it was a slip of the tongue. That's what she said. But she definitely said two in the stink. Well, you know something? I was drunk. I don't think anybody
Maybe
realizes.
Maybe you just like that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think anybody realizes, like, last week, because I edited like the last half hour of our conversation out, because I listened to it and I was like, I can't have people hearing this. But at one point, Amanda goes, dude, did you roofie yourself? And I'm like, I have no idea.
You were very perplexed.
Like, I went from like totally normal to like not. And
it was like all of a sudden.
And I edited all that out. Like you can hear it starting, which I guess none of us noticed. And then all of a sudden it's like total switch. And I'm like listening and I was like, I talked about this? Really? I asked Amanda if the carpets match the drapes in terms of curliness. Yep. Like I was like, I can't have this in here.
So I forgot about that too.
Yeah. Well,
it was
good.
In terms of curliness and not in terms of color?
Yeah, I thought it was in terms of color.
No, I think it was
usual.
No, it was I thought it was no, it was not color. It was not color. It was something different. Cuz I remember going, "Huh, valid question. Terrible way to bring it up." So
amazing.
If you listen to the last episode, it skips from us like we start about how tired we are and then there's like 30 minutes of conversation and goes back to Shandy going because we talk again about like being tired and she goes but when you drink coffee like are you tired at night or something and I go like coffee doesn't like make it coffee doesn't affect me after whatever time and then that's like 30 minutes that's just completely cut out which was a good thing for me.
The lost files.
Anyway,
maybe if someone donates enough to the Patreon, we can release those files.
So I just want to point out that if you tried the shocker based on my one in the pink, two in the stink, and failed miserably, I'm super sorry.
Let us know how it went.
Let us know how it went. Mea culpa. It's actually two in the pink, one in the stink. In case you hadn't figured that out. In case you didn't reach for the stink and be like, there's only one hole, but there's two holes the other way.
How does the hand
go? Or, you know, two holes, two fit in the one. Whichever way, I mean, I guess if you want to try the pee hole, it's gross, but whatever. I can't imagine that being comfortable. But going in the butthole. Wait.
Oh.
Anyways, Mandy.
The anus is small.
Yeah. Ooh. Mandy says, I listened to the first hour while mowing the yard. Definitely made it go by faster. You're welcome. Dennis said, I must confess.
But did you see my RE on that one?
No. Oh, RE, Mandy is nice. Oh,
Mandy is nice.
Mandy is nice. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have re-stealing shopping carts. Dennis says, I must confess I stole a woman's cart once at Wegmans. I was shopping and happened to look up and saw this lady walking towards me and pointing with a manager at her side. I often park my cart and go back an aisle for something I forgot. And this time I came back and picked up the wrong cart. In my defense, we did have several of the same items in our cart. I have no idea. I had no idea how long I had it. And worse, I had no idea where my cart was. Amazing.
I love that story so much.
I know.
I hope he found his cart.
I don't think he did. I think, sadly, he had to reshop, which is very sad. Nobody wants to go through a store and then have to re-go through a store.
Oh, good Lord, no. Freaking hate grocery shopping.
Exactly. That's like, you know, writing something up on Microsoft Word and then having your computer shut down and then it didn't auto-recover. It's just the worst.
Yep.
Michaela said, "We are a possessive little species, aren't we? I was once at the thrift shop and one guy started yelling at another guy for looking in his cart too long. I also stole a cart at Walmart. In my defense, it was a stressful time and I was super distracted. I left my cart to walk around the narrow sock area and then found my cart and kept looking around. Finally looked in the cart and saw it was filled with tags and a pricing gun. I went back, found my cart, left the worker's cart and ran away." And then
no harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul. Then we had a shitload of feedback about the friend zone. So do we want to start with that? The stuff that we have in this, like this feedback here only briefly touches upon everything else that we have. Dan said that Colleen is 100% right about the friend zone subject. There aren't enough words to describe how right she is about this. Mike said, "No, she isn't. There is no friend zone. It's a term used as an excuse to stalk and coerce. There is unrequited love, and there are relationships that change over time. The friend zone is specifically used by sad sack dudes who don't get the girl they want." And then Michaela countered with,
"Sad sack dudes. I love it."
Michaela said, "Having firmly placed a dude or two in the friend zone, I can tell you that it exists and is far different than having a stalker." So that was the only thing that was on my side, except I think that there's a voicemail from Nick about it. Maybe?
Oh, there's no. Well,
I haven't listened
to the voicemails. And some voicemails.
Okay. Do we want to do voicemails or emails first?
Whichever. We can get into the emails.
Okay. Somebody read.
Yeah.
Pick an email, anybody, and read an email. Go.
Do you want to go, Amanda? Do you have it up?
That's
what she said.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me put my crocheting down. I need both hands. Okay. So the first email is from Michael, and he says, "Hello, ladies. Just wanted to quickly weigh back in on the friend zone. I think the only real argument was over how the term is used. I've never really seen it used as a way for a woman to excuse her stalky, creepy behavior when pursuing someone. Maybe it has, but being a guy who was younger and dumber at one time, I found it to be pervasive in that demographic. I'm sure Colleen will disagree and scoff or snort. But we are right and she is wrong. Sorry, dear." Then he goes on the strong woman in media.
Hold on, I'm not wrong, Angela Lansbury. Mike. Fuck you. Sorry.
It's not your time to talk. On the strong woman in media, I feel like Angela Lansbury gets overlooked when seeing how strong a force women can be in TV/movies. As a fan of Murder, She Wrote, I find it to be a very positive portrayal of a widow who lives a fully happy life without having to rely on finding another man. Plus, behind the scenes, A.L. took control of the show as a producer and used her cachet to change scheduling and story to fit her needs and what she thought better represented J.B. Fletcher. Thanks again, ladies. Michael.
Mike is Mike is a huge fan of Murder, She Wrote, which anybody should be because Jessica Fletcher is the fucking motherfucking shit. She's the original. I'm with her. Thank you.
I feel like I've never really seen Murder, She Wrote. I'm sure I watched them like when I was a kid, you know, and they were like on TV, but like I've never seen one in my adult life that I could really like grasp. So perhaps I should do that. Is it on Netflix? Like, where do you find Murder, She Wrote?
Mike, text me. Oh, I'll just fucking ask him now. Hold on.
Yeah, I've also, like, I'm growing up, I know it was, like, sort of on in the background a lot, but I never, like, actually watched it.
I watched it all the time with my parents. It was that and the Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman, were the reasons I was able to stay up until, like, 9 o'clock on a Sunday night when I was a kid. And the whole series is on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Well.
So, I happen to...
Some downtime off.
Oh, God. I think that's what I'm going to do this
week. We got to do Buffy.
Yeah,
we got to do Buffy, and now we got to do Murder, She Wrote.
I'm going to start with Murder, She Wrote. I feel like Buffy's a bigger commitment, because I have to pay attention.
Okay.
That's true.
So, I just want to say, I have to agree with... I know Colleen's going to disagree, but I think the principal issue here is how we're using the term. And I think for us, it was this terminology and this sort of like idea surrounding it is a little bit sexist. I'm not denying that some people just want to be friends. I'm not denying friendship. And I'm not saying that sometimes people might be into somebody and that person's not into them. It's just the terminology and the way that it's used that I think has sexist undertones.
Right. Look, I don't disagree with you that in movies and stuff, there's total sexist undertones. I just happen to think that in the real world, it's a little bit different than the way it's portrayed in movies, like as a plot device for whatever. Like, that's my argument, in 'cause now that I'm sober and shit. like, honestly, that is more like, I think that the friend zone is just another term for unrequited love. And I think it's creepier to love someone from afar when you're not friends with them than to be friends with them and, you know, have a crush on them while you're still friends with them. Like, I think it's way creepier to, like, stalk somebody from afar, like, you know, I don't know, like, watch their Facebook or creep on their Twitter or something and be like, I really want to be with you, but, you know, you barely know I exist. Like, that's not friend zone to me. That's just creepy.
No.
I don't think anyone was arguing that does.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
From
my perspective, that's how I see it. Like, I see it a little bit different. And I see unrequited love as, like, friend zone is like you have a crush on them and they don't want to be with you, but they still want to be friends with you. And unrequited love is you never actually even told them that you love them. Like, you know, that you want to be with them. Like, friend zone, you might have taken that chance and you kind of failed and, you know, you got relegated to the friend zone. But I think unrequited love is slightly different to that, in that, you know, you have this, like, you know, pining or whatever, but you never actually spoke up about it. So that's kind of sort of more where I was coming from in the semantics of this argument. Anyways, anybody got anything? Otherwise, we have another email.
Yeah, I think there's one more friend zoned
email.
There's
a couple more, actually.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
we have.
Who wants to read Colkey's?
Okay.
Yeah, I nominate Shandy. That one took a lot out of me.
Okay. Well, he wrote us an email called Friendzoned Feedback. Hello. Oh, man, I have so much feedback for your Friendzoned conversation from last week's episode. These are in no particular order, but all came to mind while listening. He goes on to say, as a cisgendered man, that was for Shandy. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for specifying. And in case any of the listeners were wondering and weren't sure, that just means that he is a man who was born as a man. He says he will say, unfortunately, that men are animals, or at least at some point in their lives have animalistic tendencies. I think so. With their primary driver being sex or finding a mate. I'm not saying that women can't also have a high sex drive as well, but I have witnessed a lot more men doing uncharacteristically inappropriate things for love, quote unquote, or really for sex with someone that they find attractive and want to mate with. First thing I thought of during your friend zone conversation was this When Harry Met Sally conversation, please act out as you see fit. So it's the conversation where Harry is telling Sally that,
oh my God,
can we realize, of course, we can't be friends.
Oh, are we going to roleplay? Okay.
Can we really roleplay it?
Yes, let's do that. Who's Harry and who's Sally?
Okay, I'm going to leave it to you guys.
Okay.
Because you guys are like the theater
people. Okay, which one do you want to be?
You pick first, dude. It was your idea.
I kind of want to be Sally.
Okay, I'll be Harry then.
I feel like I can do a better Meg Ryan than I can do a Billy Crystal.
Okay, cool. Totally cool. I can do Billy Crystal.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Yeah. The broadcast players.
Okay. I love that this is probably copied and pasted from IMDb. Here we go.
Probably.
Okay. You realize, of course, that we can never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of male friends, and there's no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You say I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do too.
They do not.
Do too.
How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail them too.
What if they don't want to have sex with you?
Doesn't matter because the sex thing is already out there. So the friendship is ultimately doomed. And that is the end of the story.
Well, I guess we're just not going to be friends then. End scene.
End scene.
Very, very nicely done.
Okay, narrator, take it away.
Okay.
Oh, now I just want to watch something Kermit Sally.
I know, me too.
We will come back to that because I will have a lot to say. But back to Koki's email. He says, oh, it's not your fault. I tend to believe this to be very true, and this is coming from a gay man who slept with a lot of his female friends. Sorry, boys, if I'm blowing up your spots, but frankly, Colleen, Shandy, and Amanda, I believe 100% that the quote-unquote male friends that you have do, or at least at one point did find you attractive and wanted to sleep with you. Speaking of which, an ex of mine and I were talking the other day, and she feels like she gets friend-zoned or put in the role of the cool girl. She's fun, hangs out, has a mildly elementary school sense of humor, and she would love to have something more with these guys. She wants something more, but usually they're sleeping with someone else or only hanging out with her as a backup. I know, girl, make better choices. You should never be anyone's backup. You deserve to be number one and only. Finally, I will end with this. Usually the friend zone has good intentions. There is some connection between the two people. It could be there is an emotional, physical, or intellectual, even if it's unidirectional or unrequited, it does come and start from a good place. The idea came up, how come you don't hear about women being the Pepe Le Pew style wooer as often? Number one, it's because men typically will just say okay and sleep with the other person. Number two, sometimes it does please see my example. Or number three, it can come off as a gold digger scenario. I personally have witnessed women talk about their plans to meet or marry certain friends or friends of friends with the sole purpose of getting married and having kids because of their profession. Yes, this is not a friend zone scenario, but this also goes back to men are animals and don't care and sleep with whomever. Sorry for the long email, but cannot wait to hear more about this. Thank you, Koki.
All right.
Thoughts?
Why don't you take it away, or can we take a pee break?
We can take a pee break.
We can take a pee break. I'm debating.
I need a beer break. I'll grab another beer.
Okay. I know. I'm contemplating another.
All right. Pee break. I'll be right back. All right. So we're back from our pee break, and I probably won't edit that out like I usually do. anyways.
Pee/beer break/wine break.
So.
Yes.
Where do we want to start? Colk's email. I mean, I think that Amanda and I did a spectacular reenactment of When Harry Met Sally. I don't know how the podcast is going to go up from here.
Yep. Anyways. I think that was our crowning achievement to date. Episode 10, we've nailed it. We found our calling.
Yep.
We found our niche.
And I'll be here to applaud. That's my role.
Yeah. No, I think he makes some really valid points. I don't know. I still struggle with the friend zone. Like, I feel like it's just like this thing we all like tell ourselves to try and justify human emotions.
Well, and for me, like when he says, he says that 100% of the male friends that we have want to, or at least at one point, did find us attractive and wanted to sleep with us. For me, like, my counter argument to that, which is not even really a counter argument, is just like, yeah, and so, like, I don't really understand. Like, I mean, I have so many friends that I think are super hot that I would totally, like, bang under different circumstances. That doesn't get in the way with me being friends with them. So I don't know. I will say, maybe this is my counterpoint, my argument. I also have friends that I would not sleep with. And I'm guessing.
But I guess his argument is then that they probably want to sleep with you.
Yes, exactly.
Not 100% of my friends.
Yeah, I don't think.
And
I don't...
if 100% of my friends want to sleep with me, then damn, I just got it.
Yeah, I think
I'm just that good, but I don't think so.
Bring 100% to an argument. Like, I don't think.
I'm lucky if 25% of, like, my friends want to bone me, so. And I know that part of that 25% is Amanda, so.
That's true. I desperately want to bone you.
I mean, I wouldn't say no, but again,
Shandy,
like,
I wouldn't say no to you either, and I might be visiting Kolke in November, so I'm just saying.
Bing, bing, bing.
Oh, I may have just blushed.
I feel like it's impossible to make Shandy blush, so I've just accomplished some kind of, like, rosebud.
Oh my
god!
If you had any idea, so I know, like, always the light quality on this Google Hangout makes me look like super red, but I'm very white because I am a redhead, and I blush really fucking easily, and that's, like, my favorite pastime of my students is, like, let's make Madame blush. So yeah, it's very easy to do, and you just did it.
Everybody take a drink. Shandy just referred to herself in French.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a second drink.
Because we might have tried this a bunch of times already.
No, redheads blush more easily. There's some science behind being a redhead.
Which is interesting.
I like to
when
read
you
those, like.
That's interesting when you think about how people say redheads have no soul, so.
No, quite the opposite. Yeah, we blush easy.
You guys have too much soul.
We have too much soul.
Yeah,
we feel pain more acutely.
That sucks.
Yeah, which I don't know if I agree, because I feel like I have a pretty high pain tolerance. But maybe that's because I just feel pain more acutely, so I've convinced myself that I have a higher tolerance, that I can handle it. And we require more pain medication and more anesthesia than a non-redhead of our size and weight.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Fun facts. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so,
anyway.
To my point about my students trying to make me blush, and sometimes not even trying. Today, for example, my students were trying to talk about a hot tub, and what came out in their French, in their mind of translating hot tub in, like, sort of word for word, came out as a horny cock.
Or just go red with humor. That's funny.
Yeah. Like, oh shit. Then it's like, do I tell them? Do I not tell them? Do I? Oh fuck.
Oh god.
So yeah, that is the story of my life. But anyway, where were we? We were not talking about blushing before. We were talking about wanting to sleep with our friends.
I mean, I would agree that yes, more often than not, if someone thinks that they are, that the friendship is platonic, they are probably on the receiving end of the, like, wanting to be slept with of that pairing. But I think you can't go into an argument with 100%. Like, there's always outliers. And
And this also comes back to the question of, like, can people of sexes that are attracted to each other be friends with each other? And I think that they can. And also, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I don't know why we're making such a big deal of, like, all these categories, because you can have a crush on your friend. You can want to bone your friend. You can still be friends with them. You can actually bone your friend and still be friends with them. Like, all of these things are possible. I don't like this, fitting everything into this little box.
First of all,
yeah, no, and I think that's where we agree that I 100%, yeah, 180,000%.
I don't know. I think that more often than not, you can't bone your friend without feelings coming into it. I truly think that.
What are those feelings? You know, of course there's going to be some kind of feelings, but maybe it's like, oh, that made us better friends, or oh, like now I can't get over this. Now I've ruined the friendship, or you know,
that's not
as great as I thought it was going to be. That's not as satisfying as I thought it was going to be. Like, there's always going to be feelings. It's just to
right. I think once you bring sex into a friendship, it pretty much changes the relationship because there's no getting back from that.
I think you can.
I don't know.
I have friends that I've, you know, had some fun times with, and like they're just friends. And like sometimes there are some people that I like actually like kind of forget that, like, oh yeah, we totally boned. And that was cool, but like we're just friends. Well, like that was fine.
I think it's just a matter that like friend relationships are not cookie cutter. That like relationships are different between any two people that are involved in any kind of relationship. Yes. So for some people they can't handle sleeping with a friend. Some people that's fine. Or sometimes you sleep with a friend and it's weird, and then the same person will sleep with someone else that is a quote unquote friend and it's not weird. So I think it is in the eye of the beholder.
Definitely. I love that, how it's like just specific to the situation, which kind of gets back to what you're saying, Colleen, like for some people and for some combinations, like that's going to introduce way too much into the situation, but it also is not the case for everyone in every relationship. And so, yeah, it just like totally depends.
Yeah, I guess it could depend on the situation. Anyways,
Coke also brought up the gold digger scenario. That he's witnessed women talk about their plans to meet or marry certain people with the sole purpose of getting married and having kids because of their profession. I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
I don't think that's a friend zone. I think that's a totally separate shitty thing. Like, I mean, I'm sure those people exist.
I think it's shitty. I think it has to do with also with economics. I think it's a very complex thing. Personally, though, however, I can say I've never actually met somebody like that.
Yeah, I've never met someone that said that in seriousness. I mean, like, people joke about it. But,
so
like,
I thought it was just so icky. It is icky. I mean, but I guess hashtag get money, bitch. I don't know. Anyways, let's move on because we still have like a gazillion more things, including like a 25-minute voicemail from John. So,
spoilers.
Spoiler alert. There is another email from Daniel. All right,
go ahead.
So, hello, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Danny. I'm 21 and from Milwaukee. I've been listening to the podcast ever since I heard mentions of it on the Tribe podcast earlier in the year. Have to say, love seeing that weekly podcast update among the brand new episode. It also helped me get completely sucked into the Jay and Jack network. Woo! Sorry, let me start again. It also helped me get completely sucked into the Jay and Jack network and their extensive library. And I realized that I just did the exact same verbal typo twice in a row, but we're gonna just go with it. So I'm loving it overall.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah. Oh my god, I feel like Danny is our first honorary patron in that we brought him into the network.
Yes!
Yay!
Yay!
Fuck yeah! Oh, I'm sorry, our second honorary patron. Oh no, Eric's our first patron. He's our first honorary patron. Anyway, so I'm loving it overall. I just had some of my own feedback and comments on previous subjects. First off, male friend zoning is a thing. Bitches. I have done it on two occasions in the past, once at 14 and again at 19. I've really only been in one real-ish relationship, and that was where I both pursued and broke it off with this person I was in the relationship with. Wow, I can't read tonight, apparently. In a sense, that was in my mind both times that I friend-zoned these girls. When I was 14, it was a girl who I had some sort of attraction to, and she felt the same way. We never went on any sort of date and never progressed outside of hand-holding at school. I told myself before I started high school never to get into a relationship because, one, most of them never last, and in the end, they have petty bitterness. And two, because I didn't think I had the understanding of what it meant to be a boyfriend or have a girlfriend. I distinctly remember telling her in science one day that I just wanted to stay friends, to which she responded, "Was it something I said?" I didn't keep up with her much during high school. Looking back, it was incredibly insignificant and immature, but I believe a form of the friend zone. The second instance was the beginning of my sophomore year of college. It was about 4 to 5 months since I had broken it off with my last and only girlfriend, when this freshman girl on my floor started to become attracted to me for whatever the reason. To be honest, I led her on and was confused in what I wanted. Again, I told myself I wanted to take the year to mature myself as a person and take the time to figure out what it was, what to look for in a future wife, as well as to how to respect women. Over time, we had a few one-on-one hangouts and mild flirting. At a certain point, a couple of weeks into the year, I just had to tell her I'm not looking for anything and she should pursue other guys. It's her freshman year, the year of opportunity. The response was, "Well, then, why did you leave me on? Ah, stings and stuff." We still talk on rare occasions, but she's gone on to have several relationships. My point is, friend zoning is a thing from both sides. I'm still single to this day, and I don't think I've ever been friend-zoned. I have to be more opportunistic. If I have, so be it. I find nothing wrong with being friend-zoned, as long as you do it right, unlike myself. So I guess he's owning up to not doing it right. Turning to a different topic, coffee is a total diuretic. It can depend on your overall diet and activity level. I run a lot, so you could say I have active bowels like Tim. Oh, God. After an hour of sipping that caffeine and the rumble start, a trip to the John is needed. I've also found that drinking a large glass of water first thing in the morning can trigger that first bowel movement of the day. Works for me most of the time. Getting me hydrated as well cleans me out for the day. I don't have the squatty potty that the Glatfelter household is constantly raving about, but I do have what's called the samurai technique. Learned it a few years ago. I guess it may or may not be real, but it's what samurais used to cut down on the time upon the toilet. Basically, when you squeeze it out...
Oh my God.
Basically, when you need to squeeze it out without any extra residue, simply cross your legs, put your right foot on your left knee. It does require you to take your trousers off completely. It extracts more than just plain sitting. I'm picturing this in my mind. I almost just put my foot to my knee. And then he says, try it out.
And we're back to poop.
I'm actually sitting with my foot to my knee right now.
Squeeze as hard as you can, Amanda. Squeeze as hard as you can.
Sit that way.
Samurize that shit. Like... Samurize that shit.
I just naturally sit that way.
That's about it. Not sure if this is too long to read the podcast, but I wanted to share my thoughts. I love what you guys are doing, and I like to hear about people's lives in general. It gives me perspective on the rest of the world. Also gives me a women's view on life, which I believe is incredibly valued to a man to understand the perspective of the other gender. Keep doing what you're doing and have a great time doing it. Cheers. Sincerely, Danny. P.S. What are the health benefits of alcohol? Well, unfortunately, we're over an hour into this podcast. The health benefits of alcohol are going to have to wait until next time.
Sorry.
Too bad. Too bad.
We're just going to keep teasing that. You know what I like about this email is that he says again and again that he wants to wait until, like, he knows, you know, till it feels right, till he can get to that point where he understands and respects women. And he likes our podcast because we're helping him do that. So,
aww.
Yeah. I think he's adorable.
Yes. Super. I was just saying, what I love.
Oh, go ahead.
What I love about this email is that he's 21. I love that we have a listener who's 21, a male listener who's 21.
I know. But it just, like, reminded me that, like, we sort of talked about this last time, that, like, the friend zone is kind of something that you can grow out of. that you experience it more as a teenager, sort of figuring out, high school, college, or just figuring out what dating is and what you're attracted to. And it's like, I've forgotten we'd even gone off on that tangent. It's like, I still believe that the friend zone is something that is more important in your early dating years than it is as you move on into adulthood.
Well, because you feel more at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you feel things intensely at that point.
So acute.
But also, I'm thinking about his example when he was 14. And, like, for me, it's just, like, about telling someone you don't want to be with them. And I it's like terminology, you know? It's for me, that's not like friend zoning someone.
Well, but like, I think at that age, like having a term helps you feel like it's a normal action. And I think maybe that's why the term friend zone exists. That's when I feel like what you're experiencing is normal and that other people feel it.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying essentially is you're agreeing with what Drunk Me was trying to say last week.
No. I don't think so. Drunk you is really hard to decipher.
You know, the only person that called me out on that on the Facebook group was CJ. I'm sorry, Sink Pisser. It was like between all the slurring, and I was like, oh, dude, you don't even know the half hour that was cut out. Again, I didn't eat that entire day, which is no excuse. I mean, I'm a big girl. I should know. Like,
oh, that will fucking get you.
Oh, it does. It does. Like, I did not eat that whole day. Like, I was busy. I had a program at work, and I just was like, you know, I had like a chocolate chip cookie, and it kind of like satisfied me because I was running on adrenaline, and I got home, and I was just running. Like, it's the funny thing is, I didn't eat because last week, you know, Zach and Jay both weren't home, so I. No, there was not that sit down at dinner time. So I had like, you know, some pretzels, some chips. Mm-hmm. I had a roast beef sandwich, but it was just a sandwich and I had not eaten really anything all day except for that chocolate chip cookie, like no breakfast, no anything. And to be fair to me, generally when we have programs, we get Panera and we get like the box lunches or whatever. So like when I didn't eat breakfast, I was like, it's cool. I'm going to have a box lunch. And then we didn't end up doing that because it was too late. So like, I don't know. So all of a sudden, like, as Amanda said, she was like, did you roofie yourself? Like, you just went from, like, 0 to 100. And I was like, I know.
I also don't understand how I have never forgotten to eat a meal.
I was busy.
I wake up hungry. I'm hungry within, like, 2 hours of eating breakfast.
No, see, coffee makes you guys poop. Coffee makes me not want to eat for, like, 2 hours. And like I was telling him at work today, the second that I have coffee, if I have coffee, like it doesn't make me hungry. It suppresses my appetite, which is fine, whatever. But if I eat, I don't want coffee. It's really weird. It's like one or the other. So like when I go to a diner or something and I get coffee, once the food comes, I'm not drinking the coffee. Like I don't want it anymore. It's the weirdest thing. It's just how I am. Yeah, but it doesn't merely make me poop. I think it's because my body is like, here's your substance, because you're not going
to
eat.
Hold on.
We got you. We got
we
you.
We need those calories.
So, anyways, so let's back to this email. I have to give him props. Like, he says he handled things wrong, but when you're young, it's hard to handle things right. I mean, I don't handle things right, and I'm fucking 32 years old. So
that's how you learn wrong is.
Exactly. You
wrong.
Do shit.
Like, don't do that again.
Right. Exactly. Yes, everybody does shitty things, and that's how they learn because, you know, experience is your teacher. Like you.
And it doesn't even sound like the things that he did were particularly shitty. Okay. Like that just sounds kind of. No, but that's like to get back to like I think I was saying a couple episodes ago, like I don't really believe in regret all that much because like everything that you do all of your life experiences teach you shit. So that's what when you're like, you know, especially in your teens and like early 20s, like that's you're figuring that shit out and it's all good.
What a wonderfully healthy way to look at that. If we all looked at like mistakes as just the learning opportunities that they are.
I'm pretty sure there's probably a quote about that.
I would be a much less anxious person. if I could let go of things that I did not do perfectly the first time around, or the second or third or fourth time around.
Okay, so I just did a Google search for mistakes being learning opportunity quotes. The second time it's a mistake, the first time it's a learning opportunity. You can learn great things from your mistakes when you aren't busy denying them. There are no mistakes in life, just learning opportunities. In every mistake, there is a potential for growth. Every mistake you make is progress. Don't waste a good mistake. Learn from it. Love that. Fucking love that. Don't waste a good mistake.
Yeah,
people.
I like that one too.
Mistakes are made for learning, not repeating. Make mistakes, learn from them, move on. There are no mistakes, only opportunity. Danny, I hope that you are taking some of these and making them Instagram quotes and then tagging us in them so we can know that we have touched your soul.
Yes!
Because you too can do what I'm doing, which is Google search, literally, quote, mistakes as learning opportunity quotes, and then Google image it. And there's a plethora, like, you can do it up. Tag us at Colleen84, at Shandy Lamperley, at Amanda Jean.
For what?
Instagram.
Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
Dude. I'm Firefly.
Firefly
71284.
84, yeah. Okay, Firefly 7.
I should really change it.
It's your old Instagram. It's your old AIM thing. You're more than the sum of your past mistakes. Love that one. Mistakes are proof that you're trying. I guess. I mean, unless you don't succeed.
Nah.
Then, you know, okay, fuck that one. No, that one's stupid. That one's stupid.
I love the way you say stupid.
Me too.
Stupid.
Oregon.
I'll take stupid. I think that some people have a tendency to see the world kind of in black and white. It's like, it's right or it's wrong. It's this or it's that. And I just think that that's total bullshit. And like this whole idea of making mistakes is very much in line with that. Like there's this huge gray area and it's not that it's right or wrong. Like, and maybe it was wrong, but there's still some good in it. And there's, you know, like it's never just like one or the other.
Right.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think that's great.
Every situation is very good, different. Everything is... I guess, not to go back, but, like, it all is what it is, right?
Yep.
You got to learn from it. Right. You got to learn from it and move on, or wallow in it and let it destroy your life. Like, that's
exactly
really, that's life. Learn from it and move on. Trust me. Wallowing it is fucking shitty, and it's not going to get you anywhere.
Other than just make you feel unnecessarily sad.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a 25-minute call from John Norton. Let's get to that.
Yay.
This is apparently...
We've been building up to it. The suspense has been killing me.
So we're about to turn it over to John, and this is going to become the John podcast. The voice like that, how could it not be?
Voice for
true
radio.
True story.
All right, here we go.
Is someone breaking into your window, Shandy? What is going on back there?
My cat. My cat.
Like, is someone coming in through the window? Is it okay?
All right, damn it.
It's the kitten.
Stop saying kitten.
Kitten?
Kitten. Kitten mitten.
She's giving us the finger.
Oh.
You really are crocheting.
I really am, yeah. Oh. I've done this in the amount of time we've been sitting here.
Nice.
Oh, I know what I did wrong. Hold on.
I have a baby blanket for a friend. I went to a shower this weekend and had to give them a picture
all
of
right.
the blanket was going to look like because I wasn't even close to done.
All
so
right.
I'm like, maybe I should like speed it along so I beat the baby to life.
All right, bitches, here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, ladies, John Orton here. Thought I'd give you a call in with some thoughts on your last episode. First off, in movie talk real fast, I actually thought The Walk was really good. I wasn't really sure what I would end up thinking of it, but I liked it a lot. I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt did a really good job, and I understand I don't have the background Shandy does, but his accent after the first 5 minutes really didn't bother me. I thought he actually pulled off really well, but I agree that if you are going to see one movie about that whole incident, definitely watch Man on Wire. It's an awesome documentary, and I kind of felt bad for The Walk because you really can never make a fictional film that's better than the real story in that case because it's just so amazing. And fun fact, a friend of mine was actually involved in the real thing. And he's depicted in The Walk briefly. His name is David. He's the piano player. He's in a couple scenes, but he's actually has a bigger part in the documentary. And he actually, I think, composed music for it. And they had a lot of shots of him playing the piano. And I had no idea he was involved in any of this until I actually saw the movie for the first time. So that was kind of cool. But what I really wanted to call in about was the topic of friend zoning, the dreaded friend zoning that you talked about. And I had a funny feeling, probably got a lot of feedback about this. First thing, I do agree that it's probably a cliche that girls do this to guys more than the other way around. But at the same time, cliches generally are there for a reason, because I do think that it does happen that way more often than not. Not that it never happens the other way around, or, you know, we're not talking about just unrequited love, which no matter your gender or sexual orientation, that's a universal feeling. I just feel like the crux of the whole friend zone thing is basically how unrequited love is handled. And I think in that case, more often than not, you have more girls who come up with the line of, you know what, I'd rather just be friends. Not that they're being insincere, but I just think you're going to have a lot fewer guys who would say that the other way around. Of course, it happens, but I think it just doesn't happen as much. Here's what I would say about this. I think the world would be a better place if no one ever friend-zoned anyone ever again. If just no one ever used that as a way to deal with not being interested in a person who's interested in them, even if they really do mean it, even if they really do mean that they would prefer to, you know, just be friends with this person or remain friends with this person. When I was in high school, I was really interested in a girl for almost 2 years, and we were in the same circle of friends, so we knew each other, you know, pretty well. She was well aware of my feelings. Didn't feel the same way, clearly. And this went on for a very long time, eventually ending when senior year she just started dating someone else. Now, I'm not putting the blame on her for this. We're all young and immature and all could have handled things better, I'm sure, especially me. But it would have been so great, in retrospect, if she had just said to me, you know what, I just don't feel this way about you, I'm sorry. And that was it. Now, that would have hurt. That would have stung a lot, especially at that age. But eventually I would have gotten over it. Then the spell would have been broken, and I maybe would have spent one less year pining after her, and that's time I could have maybe actually found someone who felt the way about me that I did about them. I mean, I'm a serial monogamist. I can only date one person at a time, be in a relationship with one person at a time, have a crush on one person at a time. If I'm into someone, that's the only person I'm thinking of. So for me in high school, I was into this one girl, and that's the only person I had eyes for, and it ended up going nowhere because these things never do. And this is where I have to slightly disagree with something you guys were saying on the last show about, you know, sometimes someone can wake up one day and all of a sudden feel totally different about you. I completely disagree with that. I think that's actually really dangerous thinking, because you guys were saying about how you hate the romantic comedy that sort of perpetuates the idea of like, oh, but, you know, keep at it, keep pursuing her, and then, you know, she'll change your mind. But that's kind of what you're saying, that, you know, there's the possibility exists that one day she'll, and I'll say she'll because I'm speaking from my experiences, she'll just wake up and realize that you're the guy for her. I mean, that's literally what I spent most days of high school thinking about. When I would wake up in the morning, I'd think, you know, this is going to be the day. This is going to be the day that she looks at me differently and all this work has paid off. And it didn't happen, of course. It didn't happen because it doesn't. But if I was hearing this show last week and I was, you know, 16, 17 in high school and that was the situation I was in, that would only encourage me to keep doing these things, because I would hear like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what's going to happen to me. She's going to wake up one day and she's going to realize I'm perfect for her. So I would just say keep that in mind, because as much as you said, you know, you hate all the romantic comedy tropes that, you know, you think are incorrect and sort of, you know, poisoning people's minds, that's kind of saying the exact same thing. One other thing. The concept from the emailer who started this whole conversation about how you shouldn't be upset if you want something more from a girl and she only wants to be friends, because, hey, being friends with people is great. I mean, and you guys kind of talked about this a little bit, that, you know, that's a little ridiculous. Like, that's just not how human emotions work. If you're interested in someone and they don't share the same feelings, that's going to hurt. And just to be told, like, well, you should just still be friends with them, and it's just as good. It's like, that's not a reasonable response. That's not how the world works. Because speaking as a guy, and this might sound a little harsh, if a guy is interested in a girl, we really don't want to be friends with you. Not saying we don't like you, or you're not a good person to be friends with, or we would never be friends with you. But in that moment, that's not the relationship we're looking for. I think a lot of times, especially when we're all younger, when we get the friend zone, so to speak, it's being done really with the best of intentions, but it doesn't help because that's not what we're after, and that's not a silver lining to us. In fact, in some ways, that makes it worse. So that's what I would say. That would be my recommendation to the world. Just stop friend zoning people. If you're not interested in someone, just flat out say that, because it might come off harsher, and it probably would be. But in the long run, personally speaking, I think it actually helps. And it helps that person move on. They can find someone to be with. You can find someone to be with. And then we can all be friends. Because everybody likes friends. Thanks, ladies. Love the show as always. I'm sure I made Shandy very angry with this call. So, Shandy, start yelling at me. Go.
Okay. So, lots to unpack with that one.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
I'm always eager. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I guess I do agree when he says, you know, it hurts when somebody isn't interested, because we've all been there. So of course it hurts, and you know, I also agree when he says that, you know, it's fair. The argument, I guess it was my argument last week, that it was dangerous thinking and it gives you false hope. Like I didn't really mean to do that. Spoiler alert, I think we're about to have some outtakes, so go to the end of the show.
Scroll ahead.
Shandy, why don't you start, and I'll counter you.
I have, like, a page of notes. So,
Oh, damn, you have a legit page of notes.
You have a legit... Okay, my page of notes is, like, 4 bullet points, so...
Mine started
winging it.
I started out kind of like organized, and now I just don't even know where to start either, because there's this giant page of notes. Colleen, I actually just sent you a text of part of this page of notes, because I don't know whether or not it's okay to post that in the Facebook group.
Oh, go for it. You whatever let it is, me know. Just fucking do it.
I want to see it.
Oh, it's just a little Shandy quote.
Go for it. Do it.
Okay. My favorite kind of quote.
Okay. So... let's see. Where did we start? Okay, a couple of things. So John was telling a story about when he was in high school, said he was probably young and immature. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that obviously, like, we're past that. And, you know, it'd be great if people could have the hard conversation and just say straight up, like, I'm not into you. So I don't know what this girl in high school said or did not say to him. I don't know. He says that she knew that he was into her, but, like, did he have the hard conversation and tell her that he was into her and ask her out, or not? Because I kind of think that if you're expecting her to say the direct thing, then you yourself also have to say the direct thing. So there's that. But again, we said this was a long time ago, so let's just leave that on the wayside. Let's see. I don't think, The waking up one day and feeling totally different about somebody, that's actually not at all what we were saying. I think that John's misunderstanding there. We were talking about mutual interest growing over time. And
yes, we were.
There, I happen to know for a fact that a couple of John's really good friends have this very thing that happened to them. So
yes, and they were actually the people. They were the ones I was thinking about last week when I gave my argument. I'm just saying.
Right. Exactly. So so John, you know who we're talking about. Like, we're not saying that somebody should continue to pine after someone and whatever. We're saying that if you have an honest to God friendship, then it could potentially grow into something different. And we've seen that happen with our friends. But it wasn't like you have to think about what your objectives are in this friendship. Like, basically, just don't be that guy who's only friends with someone to get into their pants. Like, there's nothing wrong with being interested in your friend. Like I said, like, I there's a significant number of my personal friends that I would totally, in the right circumstances, I would totally boat. But I'm not friends with them just because of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, that's kind of, for me, that's the difference. I don't know. He says, if a guy's interested in a girl, we don't want to be friends with you. Okay. I mean, again, I would say, like, my advice is don't be that guy.
Yeah, that's pretty black and white.
But, like, I also get that if you're super into, if you're, like, in love with someone, sometimes it can be hard to be just friends with them. And so maybe you do need to take yourself away from that situation. But I think like that's a lot deeper than what we're talking about here. We're talking about just like a little crush. So if you, you know, if it's not going to work out romantically, like, I don't know, personally, like, I really hate that. If some guy is like pretending to be my friend, and then when he realizes that I'm married, is like all of a sudden drops off the face of the earth. Like, okay, if it's like in a bar and like that's like the objective is like that night, so there's like a limited amount of time, I could understand that that guy would then want to like pursue somebody else who, if he's like just looking to like go home with someone. But like in the bigger scheme of things, like I just think that's like such a dick move. Like, I don't know. I again, it goes back to like I think that men and women can be friends with each other. And so again, just like, I don't know, just like don't be that guy, I would say. Let's see, what else do I have here? I don't know. I think I'm done. oh, I do. I actually have in all caps, only have a crush on one person at the same time. I don't know. I guess I'm just different.
Different strokes, man.
But, different strokes, yeah, for different folks.
It seems a little like you're pushing yourself into a corner.
Jeez.
Definitely.
I do feel like a lot of that perspective is, I mean, the examples are from high school, so I feel like it is very high school. But, you know, I will again say, like, whether or not you believe the friend zone is real, like, it's real versus unrequited love. I mean, it really just sucks. It just sucks. It sucks when you, you know, want to be with somebody and they just want to be friends, and it sucks more because they still want to be a part of your life, but they don't want to be a part of your life in the same way that you want to be a part of their life. And that sucks. And maybe that's why I fought for it so hard while I was drunk last week. Maybe that's why like I fought for it so hard. It's just like, you know, I remember that it just sucked.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, Siri for the win. Okay,
bitch.
I feel like Siri. Yeah, you're right. Fuck you, Siri.
Because you have no heart, Siri.
Fuck you, yeah. Siri.
Well, and again, like circling.
Oh, snap. Oh, she's.
I mean, I think this is kind of where we circle back to. Like, I think that we're talking about. Like essentially the same thing. Remember that a couple of episodes ago where we were like standing next to each other on this thing around,
yeah,
like our points. And
yes, oh yeah, that we were, yes, about the.
We were standing around. It was like kind of like a maypole. It was kind of like
we're all on right. Every part of the clock, but still all on the clock. Yes, like,
it was like a quilt, but we were each a different corner. It was like a wheel of laughing cow cheese. We were each a different wedge.
Exactly. So I think we're back there again. We're like, we're talking about a very similar thing. We're just talking about it in a slightly different way, and we're like having a terminology dispute. But yeah, of course it sucks to be the one who wants something that the other person doesn't want. And I think that's something that everyone has experienced, and it's hard. And of course, in an ideal world, then that person would tell you, I just don't want to, I'm not interested in you. But isn't that what telling someone you just want to be friends is?
Right.
Well, not for nothing. Like, yeah, it's like we're all talking about experiences that happened in middle school and high school and college. And honestly, most people at that age don't have that language yet to be able to say that.
Yes.
There's a lot of adults that can't just say, I'm sorry, this just isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really hard thing to say. And right, so it's like, yeah, it sucks to be on the receiving end of it.
Right, and especially yeah.
But it sucks to be on the giving end of it, too.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It does
yes.
suck. 'Cause
no one, most people do not want to hurt someone else's feelings.
Exactly.
And I think that's, again, that's sort of why the friend zone has become such a thing. It's just like people don't know how to let someone down gently. No one wants to have that hard conversation. You know, it also kind of feeds back to that girl that, you know, moved across country because she didn't want to break up with a guy. Like,
right. Yes.
It's all the same kind of idea that, like, you don't, it's really hard to verbalize that kind of stuff.
Even though I maintain she's a fucking pussy, but yes.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Like, that is the extreme, like, super not okay.
Yeah. All right. So we have another voicemail. Let's get on to that.
Hey, girls, this is Nick from the Married Man Show. I just wanted to talk about the friend zone, and it totally exists, and I'll tell you why. Because we, I mean, y'all don't always think it exists. It's because we, when we do it, we don't know we're doing it to people. Only people who comment on it are people who've been friended. And we all do it. It's just because, you know, say you've met someone and you think they're really attractive, and you go out on that first date, or even not even the first date, you meet them and you think, oh my God, this person's so sexy, and you're getting along. But we're all addicted to things that we don't know, or things that are mysterious. And that's the same reason why girls date bad boys, is because bad boys are unpredictable and they're always full of drama, and human nature is drawn to drama. So when you meet, or you're out on the date with this person, and at first you think that, ooh, it's the newness, ooh, this is so great. But then when they do something predictable, when they do something that's normal, or it's, especially when you're young, you know, when you're in your teenagers, your early 20s, and normal is boring. Normal is your parents. Normal is, you know, it's something you already know. So you want something exciting. So when this person all of a sudden falls back on this normalcy, that's when you go, oh, they're not so cool. They're not so what I thought they might be. And so already in your head, you're already putting them in this, you're testing them. You know, you're putting them in this area of, I don't want them. I don't want them. And the next thing you know, you're no longer looking at them as a mate or a partner. You're looking at them as a friend. And it went from this potential of attractiveness to a friend. And yes, you're right in a way, Shandy, about saying like, oh, I don't believe that. I believe you're not attracted to this person. But at some point you were attracted to this person if you're already on a date with them. And so that's the definition of a friend zone. Not, I don't find you attractive from the get-go, but at some point you were liking them, and then it split. It flipped to just a friend area. And we all do it. Men do it, but I think women get the bad rap for it, because men, through what you guys are correct about saying, Hollywood, movies, things like that, it's always shown men chasing women. But women do chase men too, and I'm just as guilty as anyone else. Like, you can get a girl, you think she's great, but you're like, oh, you know what? You're not going to keep me intrigued. You're not going to keep me on my toes. So, but I really enjoy hanging out with you, but it's just not going to go anywhere. And that crushes people. It really does. So that's just my two cents. I've got lots of thoughts on it. This actually would be a great talk for the Married Man Show as well. But y'all be good, enjoying it. Bye.
Nick's on my side, so cool.
Well, I will say, to his point about, like, we all want something different. I mean, yes, we do want a little strange in our lives every now and then. I would say, Nick from the Married Man Show, that is a voice that I can get behind. Fucking sexy as hell, and the accent.
Look, if you want somebody to come and see, I can do it. I can set that up.
I believe he lives in LA now.
He does, which is even closer to you.
Which is not being creepy. I just happen to listen to the Married Man Show.
Look, I've happened to know Nick for 9 years, so, you know, wink, wink.
No, so I will say, though, he says that we're drawn to drama. People are drawn to drama. I will wholeheartedly disagree.
Oh, I will wholeheartedly agree, because I'm a person that is drawn to drama. I don't know. I don't understand the concept of somebody that's not.
Well, that's the thing. Me. Like, not everyone is, yeah, to each is their own. That's, again, the 100%. You can't bring 100% to an argument, because it doesn't. It doesn't work.
We just got super quiet.
Sorry, I didn't mean to end the thought process there.
We're all different, guys. I mean, I don't, like, sure, absolutely, you can like start something with someone, go on a date, whatever, and then realize that you're not into them like that, or they're different than you thought, or they're whatever, and not be into them. Obviously. I mean, I don't think anyone here is really arguing that that's not possible, or that that's not the case.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to continue a relationship with them.
Yeah.
It's just, but, again, I don't like the terminology.
Well, but okay, I don't agree with that being friend-zone-y. Like, I think that if you gave somebody, like, an honest chance and decided, no, not working, that's not friend-zoning them. That's just being like, that's not working out.
Yeah, that's just not working out. Exactly.
That is my two cents about that. I don't know. Apparently, I'm all over the board. God, it's just so confusing.
I just can't formulate my thoughts. Streamline them.
All the thoughts that I have make too much sense for me to. but seriously, I still agree that the friend zone does exist. Do we have anything else that we want to do for this, or do we want to? Does anybody else have anything that they want to say about Nick's voicemail?
I like to take notes as I'm listening, so I can remember things. You know,
my very notes are studious of you.
Yes, my
I
notes.
Do that.
Well, Nick. MMS, arrow, sexy accent. So let's call it that.
He does have
weren't
a sexy
so much
accent.
Caught up on the words, it was the delivery of them.
And I'm going to post a picture of that right now to prove it.
All right. I guess on that note, we have a couple more things for feedback, including an update from Lukewarm. But we will save that for next week because, you know, let's be honest, we want everybody in the world to contribute. We also have one more voicemail from Uncle Larry. And I feel like, you know, Uncle Larry might pop his head up. That's what she said. On other podcasts coming up. I feel like Uncle Larry gets around. So that's that.
That's what she said, too.
But on that note, I suppose. So most of our feedback involved the friend zone. I feel like we're in a much better place this week on the friend zone than we were last week, where we are better to agree to disagree. But we also have more of an agreement on unrequited love versus stalker friend zone love. Maybe is that a thing, guys? I mean, do we have that?
Yeah, stalker.
Sure.
Stalking is never coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's coming from a place that you think is love.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget. We're talking from the stalker's point of view.
Fuck the stalker's point of view.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck their point of view. But anyway, guys, I feel very awkward because, Shandy, have you used your squatty potty in the last week?
Poop, 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 poop.
Shit. I'm trying to remember. I feel like it should really stick out, right?
That's what she said.
I know. I was like, I don't want to, but it's just there for the taking.
And I took it.
Yeah, you did. You just grabbed that fruit that was barely touching the ground.
That's the best kind of fruit.
I think I'm still going to need a little bit more time.
Yep, it's really, you know, good and earthy, that fruit.
Best kind of fruit, best tasting fruit. Anyways.
Yeah, maybe on the next episode, I'll have an update on the squatty potty situation, probably when we do the benefits of alcohol.
So never?
Can't leave us hanging.
No, hopefully before that.
Okay,
no,
next time. Before you go on vacation.
Yes, I will try to use the squatty potty.
Okay, excellent.
Again.
But also, you could just get the portable squatty potty that Maggie talked about last week.
That's true. And take it with me.
You do not have to do that.
No, you don't have to do that. But anyways, bitches, I love you.
It's right been fun. Yes.
And I guess...
Good times, good times.
We're going to talk in like 4 days, 3 days, 4 days. Everybody else is going to hear
days,
us talk
two.
A week from now. So
48 hours.
Yeah.
Better do a lot of living in that 48 hours. Oh. We have shit to talk about.
Holy shit. Yeah. If you have any feedback, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can call us at 331-BROADS3, which is 331-276-2373. If you have anything to say, holler at us. We would love to hear from you. Clearly, we're up to debate any topic. Right, guys?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No, I did not roofie myself tonight. You have seen exactly what I'm saying. This is just me being tired and not being able to think clearly. Anyways, does anybody
anyway?
Oh my fucking god! Does anybody have anything?
Does anyone else have anything else to say?
Please, just do it up.
Nope, I'm good. I will see you bitches in a couple days.
Holla!
Sounds good.
All right. I guess on that note, peace out.
Peace out.
Good night.
All right,
or,
bye.
You know, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that, bye. He says that girls don't say it because, you know, the girls, I'm sorry, guys don't do sexy time as much. Hold on, let me start again. Guys don't friend girl, friend, shit. Guys don't friend girl, guys don't friend girl zone.
Friend zone.
I think that we're about, spoiler alert, I think we're about to have some outtake.
Scroll ahead.